WEEI Afternoons here. Before we jump into the drive, let's go back to the phone lines. A couple guys waiting for a while here. Let's go to Tim in Massachusetts, who wants to react to our Bill talk. What's up, Tim?
Okay, so you can't get offended on what I'm saying because we live here in New England and we're a professional end of sports things, but we're not college. So with that being said, it's truth. It's just fact. If you know who Kirby Smart is, then you really can't talk college football to begin with. Now, wait. So you guys just said, I'm not a huge Belichick fan, but I'm a huge Belichick fan from the point of, and you guys just proved it, North Carolina football has been relevant, and so is Duke, for about 10 years now, where basketball was always what they are. I believe Belichick went to North Carolina for one reason and one reason only. He never walked in there with being like, oh, I'm going to take this football program. No, it's all about NIL money. So I guarantee you they guaranteed him X amount of money to keep up with the Joneses.
Right, $20 million.
And with that being said, Bill Belichick and what Tom Brady, dude, that program is going to be successful. How successful? They're going to be successful for one reason and one reason only. The guy teaches fundamental and techniques. And with 17 and 18 and 19-year-olds, if you can teach.
All right, Tim, thanks for the call.
They've already won. They sold out. They've sold out.
Sure,
right?
That's what you're looking for.
That's what they're looking for.
But I would also say, Tim, define relevant. What does relevant mean?
They're more relevant than they've ever been right now.
No. But he said they've always been relevant. And I was like, I mean, depends how what your definition of relevant is.
They've been more relevant in recent years, but now they are like front page of ESPN relevant.
That's why they went to get Bill.
Absolutely. They're trying to make a leap. There were even those rumors that rumblings that SEC could be down the road, and this is some foundational step in that direction. But, I mean, they are also rans in the ACC in terms of football. That's just who they are.
Haven't won the ACC since 1983.
And what was the – we had the preseason power rankings – they were behind, weren't they behind every military academy? Air Force, Navy, like they were behind all of them.
In the 40s somewhere.
So how can you call yourself a super relevant college football program? No disrespect to the military academies.
But Colorado, here you go. Deion Sanders goes to Colorado. He's 2 years, he's got a 500 record.
Yeah.
They are claiming that it was successful. He just got an extension.
Yeah.
Because they went 500. They're finally selling, they're selling tickets, there's buzz. So that, it's not about wins and losses.
Right.
It's about buzz and can you put people in the stands.
Well, there's buzz around North Carolina football and Bill Belichick. That's buzz. One thing we know. And Jordan, I shouldn't leave her out because she's sort of the main reason for the buzz. Up next, David in Florida. What's up, David?
Hey. Let me get you off speaker. Hold on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. We're running out of time here. Okay. Thank you, David. Let's go.
I'm good.
Okay.
You there?
Oh, yes, we're here, bud.
We've been here the whole time.
Take your time.
I'm good. All right. I appreciate your patience. Now, I got
Just give me one.
All right, number one. They played Toronto and Detroit down the last two series of the season. And if they need to win, let's say, the last two games of the season to make the playoffs, it's going to be in tough shit. It's going to be a difficult do.
All right, thanks for the call, David.
Man.
I hope they get to that point still in the conversation. That is my hope, is that you're playing those final games. Either you're well-situated in the postseason or you still have a chance at the postseason, David. But appreciate the call. And last call before we get to the drive here, Jared in Auburn. What's up, Jared?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to bring some light to some technology that I feel like isn't being talked about enough. Jaden Daniels studies the playbooks of other teams through virtual reality. And he plays it on 2x speed. He's been doing this since LSU, and the Commanders bought the technology. He studies the plays of the other team on 2x speed before every game for hours. I feel like that's something. Do you guys feel like that's something the Patriots should be working on with May?
Thanks for the call, Jared. So I don't know about the whole 2x speed. I know the Patriots use VR technology all the time.
Wasn't LSU at the forefront of using VR technology for quarterbacks at college?
Yeah, so that makes sense. Now, this whole working on it double speed, is that like a weighted bat? So when you get back to real speed kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay, the game's probably going there. And, you know, video games, and these guys grow up in Madden, and there's a lot of that. I also don't know if I believe that's the magic cure that Drake.
I bet it doesn't hurt though.
No.
I mean, you think about it. Like when I first got into college, it was the first year. My first year at Colorado, 1991. It was the first time VHS tapes were. and if you wanted to see, you know, a play in the red zone, you had to fast forward to it. Now it's boom at the tip of your. It's so you can learn faster now than you ever could before. So there's something to it, man.
And the staffs can put together more information for you faster and better than they ever could. Correct. The cut-ups,
so that you're,
like the instantaneous, we just left Minnesota, but we're getting ready for the Giants, and I have every third down they've ever played at on my iPad.
I have every third down in the red zone inside the 10.
Right. All right. It's a little after 5. We wove in the phone calls, but now it's time for the drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. Into left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home.
Stop!
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, we got to kick off the drive as we did the show. Red Sox have lost 3 in a row. They're down in Houston, Ted's former stomping grounds, and Ted's buddy, St. Bregman, had quite a night that involved some success and the fans telling him what they think about him.
Did you hear the boos next step?
Now they're booing him? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. I loved it. I was hoping they would.
And I know he's homo, but get out of here. Do you think in a million years that would ever happen with Xander Bogaerts or Mookie Betts? No way.
Not a chance.
That's just stupid.
Oh, Ted Johnson, what are your thoughts on Will Fleming saying it's stupid that the Houston fans
I was listening to Will's commentary from the gym in my headset. I was like, ooh, wow, what did I – wow, Will's really upset with the fans. And so I had to text my buddy Sean Pendergast, who does mornings down there, and just say, hey, what's going on? Why are the fans booing Bregman? He goes, yeah. Did you just see that they did a video montage and had a standing ovation to start the game?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, Will, here's the thing. You know, Tom Brady's come here, and he's been honored, and then when the game starts, you boom.
You should.
Vinatieri, same thing. You applaud him to start the game, but when the game starts, they boot him. It's no different here than it is in Houston. And I'm surprised Will doesn't realize that.
And it's Fitzy. It's the classic, I believe, the Four Horsemen. You're either with us or you're against us, Ric Flair would say. Mm-hmm. Like, Bregman now plays for the hated Boston Red Sox. And this is a pretty good rivalry that's developed over recent years.
Is. So the manager is, for God's sakes. He was part of the whole 2017 trash can scandal, then flips it to Boston. The Benintendi catch, 2018, steals it away from them. They win the World Series. Like, this I dare say, I kind of think Astros Red Sox has as much juice, if not at times maybe a little bit more, than Sox Yankees recently.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree that this is an actual hate-filled rivalry with angst.
Screw them,
I'm still trying to get used to Houston being in the American League.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of layers there.
It's weird.
There's a lot of layers.
That was my team growing up, and it's just crazy. They're in the American League now.
Give me a Ted Johnson quick synopsis, like, 15 seconds, whatever description of, like, what's a Houston fan? A person in Houston that roots for the Astros, how would you describe that person?
Oh, they're not as invested. They're bandwagoning.
Okay.
So when it's tough times, and when it was in 2014, 15, 16, it was – but then when they start winning, it's definitely – it's a football town first, and then close second is the Astros.
Okay. All right.
They love them. They love them some Astros when they're winning and relevant.
So things were great last night. For the Red Sox, the visitors. That's why, in part, they were booing Bregman. He hits a two-run home run. You jump out
to a
lead, and Crochet's on the mound. Okay, we got a losing streak, but this is why you have an ace. This is why you have a pig and a beast. Now I have to wonder, because as it turns out, two runs, three runs, five runs. All of a sudden, Crochet is out of the game after four innings and five runs. So we talked about it. Ted Johnson, what is your concern level with Garrett Crochet after last night?
I'm okay. I mean, you know, it's his worst game. You know, he's been pitching beautifully, so I'm not too worried about it. I mean, look, he's gotten more pitches, more innings pitched than he has ever. So I get that, but I'm not. The guy's entitled to a bad game, so I'm not that concerned about it.
Fitzy, we did the show poll on this earlier. Andy Hart on Twitter at Jumbo.
86 pitches. Will was concerned that they pulled him, only have pitched 86 pitches, thinking that it might be something more than than just bad pitching.
Or that it was just, there was some insinuation that maybe he doesn't have it tonight, so don't waste any of those pitches. Let's give him another short night, and on the back end, 5 days from now, boom, he'll have a little more juice.
And another reason I'm concerned is part of it was maybe the approach. I mean, he threw more sweepers.
Yep.
Sweepers.
Yep, didn't love that. I don't like
changing
your approach.
As opposed to just throwing the heat.
Why is he changing his approach? His approach seemed to work with 9 straight victories and decisions.
The velocity was still there.
Fitzy. Ted is right. Not concerned seems to be the belief of Red Sox Nation on the at Jumbo Hard at WEEI Afternoons Twitter. But not concerned, kind of concerned, or very concerned with the options. How many percent votes do you think not concerned has received?
41%.
Nope, you're low. 66% of fans say they are.
2 out of 3?
Yep, 2 out of 3 Red Sox fans not concerned. Kind of concerned is 28%. And very concerned is a mere 6%.
So really, no real concern there.
The only thing for me that's a concern is it comes on the heels of the weird extended rest a couple different times. And it's like, was that really for no reason? Or has he been saying behind the scenes, oh, you know what, I'm a little sore.
I think
we
found
this.
That out. I'm concerned about just the starting rotation. I mean, they were a top 10 starting pitching staff in ERA. As of a week and a half ago, now they're middle of the pack.
Yeah, they chose not to add a high-end pitcher, and now your high-end pitchers, Giolito, lost 4 walks in a row. Bayo, lost, didn't pitch well. Crochet, lost, pitched his worst of the season. And you know who we'll ask about that? Alex Cora, tomorrow, 2:30 here on WEEI Afternoons. He'll join us, as he always does every Wednesday, and he'll have some questions to answer about his ball club, which I keep saying this, and it really is kind of a dinky Andy Hart thing to say. They have the longest losing streak in the American League right now. You know that? It's only 3 games, but it's the longest losing. It's a fact, right? Truth is never mean. I'm just saying you have the longest losing streak in the American League. All right, so we talked about the Red Sox and their struggles and where they're going. We also talked a lot today about Drake May. And Josh McDaniels, I mentioned he had a press conference yesterday, was obviously asked a lot of questions about Drake May. One of those was that fine line for Drake May coming out of that game, the fine line between trying to make a play, trying to do too much, trying to live to fight another day. Here's Josh's answer.
Hopefully it won't be a tough line to straddle. I think he's still learning, all of those things. You know, he's like, he's such a gifted athlete, and I think, a lot of guys that play this position that have ability to throw it, but also to move and make plays with their legs and extend plays, they have to find that line themselves, honestly. We can tell them all we want, don't make a bad play, And I'm going to be the first one in the end zone when he extends a play. And, we all saw the one to pop, early in training camp. And if I was telling him to throw that away, I'd have been pissed at myself. So I think, I would say this, he's definitely more aware as we go into this training camp and the next practice and all that. You saw him slide a couple times the other night, which was great. So again, there's a fine line between holding onto the ball too long in certain situations and then doing the right thing to help the team. And those guys that were blessed with that ability, they're the ones that have to go out there and learn how to do that and balance it.
Fitzy, you like that answer? The coach kind of saying, well, that's kind of on Drake to go find that line. That's not really my job. He needs to figure that out on his own.
Yeah, you have to treat them like adults at some point. I do think that's better, Andy, than last year's now infamous line from Mayo. Once the players cross that white line, there's nothing I can do for them.
Yeah, that's not great.
No, that was brutal. Like this... this is like, I'll do everything, I'm going to do it, but like, you don't want to have him, what you don't want Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel being helicopter parents all year?
Yeah, no, I think there is definitely some responsibility on the player, but I also think if I'm Robert Kraft and I'm paying Josh McDaniels, like, I don't know what he's making, $3 million a year, let's say. Wait, did you say it's all on the player? Then what do I have you around for? Isn't that why I pay you a lot of money in the 25 years of experience you bring to this job? Ted, do you think that's hard for these young quarterbacks to find that fine line between gunslinger and smart QB play?
I think it is when you have an offensive line that's sketchy, wide receivers that you're unsure of. In a system that can be overwhelming. So if you got a lot of things that you're thinking about as a quarterback, and you take too long to maybe pull the trigger, there's gonna be times where you're gonna go, okay, I gotta run the football. And when he did run, I was okay with it. I liked his run in the open field. I mean, he got knocked out of a game last year because he didn't know how to run
right
when he was open and running in the open field. He got down early, and I like that. I like the touchdown that he scored on. I thought it was a smart decision. Four guys rushed. Three guys get wiped out on the right side. He's got a big old hole. Why not go run it in? So I think there is a fine line, but I also think, you know what, let him just play instinctively. You know, if he's constantly thinking all the time about making a mistake, you're going to hold him back. Let him just, you know, kind of let him do his thing, and you know, he'll get better at the things that you want him to get better at over time. It might not happen overnight, but it will eventually take.
I agree, because on that touchdown run, it definitely seemed like, you know how you were telling us, you know, count the rushers, see how many rush. It doesn't feel like he's counting and thinking it's, he just feels it. Oh, boom, yeah. Three guys that way, one guy, oh, the, wow, just, it's automatic. Mm-hmm. It's all just sort of one instinctive move for him. And I do think he's an instinctive football player. I think he's a creative football player. I think a lot of these modern guys are like
that. Can I just say, every now and then, that's not a bad, you want to keep the defense on its heels. If you can rush for a, you know, 1.5 first downs, that's what I always want. Give me 1.5 rushing first downs by your quarterback every single game. That keeps the defense off. Yep, I've already done.
1.5.
Yep.
This is like a Ted Johnson number?
So 17 games, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you think about that. That's a lot. You know, that adds up. Those first downs by you rushing, it keeps drives moving and keeps points on the board. So if you don't have a mobile quarterback, then you don't have that extra first down that mobile quarterbacks can get you every single game.
Yeah, and that's, Fitzy, what Josh was talking about when being asked about design runs, and he kind of said, well, I'm not sure we need a ton of design runs. He basically alluded to Drake had 400 yards rushing last year with zero design runs, and these plays that you can't predict are always going to happen in a game for guys that have that ability. The play will break down, and he'll have a chance to show you what he can do with his legs.
Do you think Drake being given the ability to take off is baked into a lot of the plays as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Josh is going to fixate on wanting to have the passing game answer, because that's who he is. That's what he's always had. But it's nice for him to now have, well, and if that doesn't happen, we all know you'll fix it and just go run and pick up a first down. And I'm with you, Ted. They felt like safe runs. They felt very safe. I never felt like he was in trouble. He was in the most trouble when your boys on the left side didn't know that there was a stunt coming, a game coming.
Correct.
So,
and when you have an offensive line that's a little bit sketch, when you have a quarterback that runs the ball every now and then, it keeps those defensive linemen, they're not just rushing upfield anymore. Now they're kind of, it's a read and react. So you kind of slow the rush down when you have a mobile quarterback, which helps your offensive line.
And finally here on the drive, not surprisingly, we were a little premature. You can take that however you want to take that. But Ramona Shelburne has clarified Wick Grosbeck's situation. The report earlier from her and Shams was that Wick Grosbeck was not going to be the governor for the Boston Celtics moving forward, as had been reported early on in this process, selling the team to Bill Chisholm. This is from Ramona Shelburne on Twitter. According to multiple league sources, while Bill Chisholm will technically be the Celtics governor, he and Wick Grosbeck plan to run the team together as originally planned, but with Chisholm as governor and Grosbeck as alternate governor and CEO, the change in structure was due to league rules, including minimum ownership, sources said. Grosbeck will end up owning slightly less than the required 15% given final funding for the transaction. Operations of the team should remain consistent with Brad Stevens and Rich Gotham continuing to run the basketball and business operations.
Glad we got that cleared up.
So we cleared that up. Wick Grosbeck isn't going anywhere. He's just bumping down one role to associate governor. Bill Chisholm, because he's spending all the money, is going to take the big boy seat at the table.
This is
all good?
Nobody cares about this story.
Oh, wow.
Honestly.
Hurtful.
I mean, do you think anybody cares about this story?
Stiz did. He thought they were riding Wick Grosbeck's coattails because he was the popular owner who talked about titles and banners, and that's how we get paid in this.
This is Bill Chisholm's team now.
That's my approach. If I put down $6 billion, it's my damn team, and I can do what I want. Apparently, that's the situation over on the Causeway Street. Okay. Dan Ball is ready to get trending. Up next, we will have Take Tuesday here on WEEI Afternoons, where I think Nick Fitzy Stevens will be in the spotlight. I can't wait. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending. WEEI Afternoons, 5:30 on a Tuesday. That means it's time for us to make a little history, I think, because I don't think it's been too often since we've been doing these Take Tuesday look backs on takes that we've made to one day earlier. But I think today we're going to make a little history. So it is Take Tuesday.
It's Take Tuesday.
Run that again.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, Nick Fitzy Stevens. I don't know if you're in the spotlight or the crosshairs. I'll let you decide. But I think it's your bite at the apple here for Take Tuesday. So what do you got?
I am willing to double down on this Take Tuesday in and amongst the triumvirate of sports fellows here on WEEI Afternoons and not just say that I am certain, but rather guarantee I am putting the 100% certified Angus Fresh USDA organic GFY Nick Fitzy Stevens certification on Efton Chisholm III, making the New England Patriots 53-man roster.
Wow. A little Broadway Joe guarantee here.
Oh yeah. No, I feel this in my bones. I feel as certain about this as I do almost anything regarding your 2025 iteration of the New England Patriots. There's just too much positivity, too much momentum. It's not fan service. It's not just because he fulfills that quotient of, oh, there's the little white slot receiver again. Yay, we're so back. Look, we've got, it's Josh calling plays to a minute. He looks the part of Dola. He's got, this offense always seems to do so well. When you got that little slot guy, sure, you could say maybe that's Pop, although I feel like Pop Douglas's role on this team is not just going to be the slot receiver who just runs open and gets in the same way Amendola or Welker or Hogan did at times, and especially Wes Welker. I feel like Pop Douglas's role could be a little bit of everything. But as far as that guy, when you have somebody come out so, ever so obviously looking the part of something that fits into McDaniel's offense, and you didn't even have to use a draft pick on him. You had to spend $259,000 as an undrafted free agent. And he's there, and he's made progress every day, all the way up into taking reps with the ones yesterday. Look, he's probably going to have a hell of a time out there in Minnesota, just like everybody else is, when they go up against Brian Flores' defense and his exotic package of coverages and blitzes. But I feel like this guy has done enough now. And especially considering Megan Ottolini did a piece on the receivers making the team and not making the team today on WEEI.com. And she spoke to Todd Downing, the receivers coach, who loves him some Efton Chisholm III. McDaniels obviously loves him. The playing strength that Mike Vrabel highlighted in his Friday night comments. And Jeremy Springer working with him to try to find special teams value to give him just another extra little bit of leverage. Another way for him to find himself on this roster come the end of August and especially September 7th. So I'm willing to even go so far, guys. If you want to lay something on it, like one day I have to end every sentence with like, and you're a genius, Andy, or yes, Ted, you are the man. I don't care. I'll do it.
What about
I'm in on this guy.
What about a mohawk? If he doesn't make the team, you got to get a mohawk.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard. No one wants to see that.
I kind of want to, but all right, we'll come up with something. But Ted,
I would tell you this. I was more impressed watching the game. And, they're third stringers. But, Efton Chisholm was an undrafted, rookie free agent. So he's just going up against the competition that they put out there. So I liked what I saw in the games. I'm curious, who does not make the team then? So if he's on the roster, then who is off the roster? Does that mean Jalen Polk, Javon Baker is not gonna make it? I can't see them keeping seven wide receivers.
So I think Jalen Polk is definitely in trouble.
He's got Foxborough flu or he's gonzo, Andy.
There was an interesting nugget from our buddy Mike Giardi. The 49ers are going through a lot of injury issues again at the wide receiver position. And Kyle Shanahan was sort of openly talking about, we got to find some receivers, whether it's, trades, other teams, surplus. And obviously, Kendrick Bourne came from out there. And Giardi posed, could Kendrick Bourne be an option to get traded back to the 49ers? Because he's a guy that's on that bubble. Some people think with the injury, he might be on the outside looking in. I think the Baker one is interesting because he's a different style guy. and now you have a couple special teams tackles.
Right. And you got the head coach kind of loving them up. You love them up like that, that's usually a good sign.
And also, maybe most importantly for me, I don't know if you guys saw his media availability on Monday when he was asked about covering kicks, and he was like, anything they want me to do, I'll do. And it was the opposite of the guy who said, I make people in wheelchairs. Right. It's like, wait, did you mature over the last year? Do you now get that you're a professional? And that
finally, it takes guys a 100%. Little bit.
But if he did that, then you add some of the physical upside that I think is still there.
Oh, yeah.
He could maybe carve out a role for himself as an extra wide receiver. So I don't think they're keeping seven. That just sounds too much to me. And then also gets into the calculus of, can I get Efton Chisholm on the practice squad? Am I really worried?
I think you can.
Why do you say no?
Yeah, I think you can.
I go back to 2019 Braxton Berrios, and I think this kid is way better than that guy was, and he got picked up by the Jets. You've got people in your division. Andy, there are teams in the division right now that, you know, look, I know you're going to be like the sixth or seventh receiver on the Patriots would probably be the ninth or tenth receiver on a lot of football teams, which could very well be true. But you've got teams in your division that don't exactly have all-star wide receiving cores themselves either, who've probably been watching all this tape and listening to all the yip-yap on the radio, following along and watching this kid develop and pop. He's starting to get too much press, starting to get too much buzz to just ignore the fact that he's going to land on someone's radar.
Why wasn't he drafted?
That's a great question.
Why wasn't he drafted? If he's so good, why wasn't he drafted?
I think that's a fair question because,
Brock Purdy was so good, why did he go last?
Yeah, those questions be asked, but like he's an undersized white slot receiver without the speed and the different. I mean, Jacoby Myers. Like, there's guys that fall for various reasons that carve out nice careers for themselves. But I think there's some truth to that because I also think teams sometimes in the urgency of the waiver wire at cutdowns fall back on their scouting reports from the draft. And they didn't draft him. They didn't really, you know, they might not have great scout drafting reports.
I'll be honest. The thing that jumps out at me when I first saw him in practice is how small he was.
Yep.
And then you go, okay, you see him on the NFL. You see the quickness, the ability to get open fast. And you go, okay, all right, he's small. But if you can't get your hands on him, you know, then who cares how small he is? So,
you know, Ted, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, buddy. Please. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did you see the highlight the other day? Again, it's just practice. It was not in a contact practice. It was just in shells. But the way he went up over Marcus Jones on a fade in the corner of the end zone showed, you know, a nice high point, good physicality. Like, he wasn't afraid to go up and get it.
Yep.
This wasn't one of those Dola routes where he goes up the middle, fakes left, and then runs under the cornerback's arms, which he does so well that you would almost be like, is that 2016 Amendola out there? Like, he moves so well. I just see him finding a way to operate and make a name and make a little impact for himself this year. And Andy, if we're talking about a team that ESPN has power ranked as 26th best roster-wise 2 years from now, is that, I mean, how do you not try to make room for a kid like this that can help you develop an actual wide receiver room? So we're talking about legit receivers and not just like the team that has to go back in the wide receiver talent pool time and time and time and time again.
Well, my argument would be I don't think he's that good, and I don't think he's a legit NFL receiver. And I also don't think he's creating this buzz of you can't get him through waivers. He was making plays in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. I think that's where guys who make it through waivers make their plays. You make those plays, you do it a quarter and a half earlier, due to maybe the second quarter against Minnesota, and then maybe you can start, and maybe that's what they're planning. Maybe that's why Josh McDaniels said, we're going to use some people in different roles in practice yesterday, and you saw Chisholm out there. Maybe that's prepping him for more reps with Drake May and other high-level groups in Minnesota this week, whether it be joint practice or the games. But fourth quarter plays, I mean, I've seen a million guys make plays in the fourth quarter that are going to be cut soon thereafter. But it's an interesting discussion. And I'm just going to throw one thing out there, and we don't have a ton of time to discuss this, but I just want to throw it out in relation to Efton Chisholm and Pop Douglas. I don't know that Pop Douglas is a natural slot receiver, because one thing has started in the Patriots system.
That's a great point.
One thing that has started to bother me about him is I see frequent miscommunications, or he and Drake May not on the same page with that zone coverage sit down. I don't know that Pop sits. Pop has a lot of movement to him, and it seems like sometimes he runs through the spot where he's supposed to be, and Drake May throws it to that spot, and then all of a sudden it's a little behind him or it's a little tip ball. I don't know that he has that natural, and that's what everybody says you got to have in that spot, right? You got to find the soft spot, like Travis Kelce.
You know who did excellent, I thought, a couple times in the other night?
Your boy Webb.
There you go.
Yes. And so Pop Douglas, I like his speed, his upside, his ability to get open, but the traditional sit down in zone, find the sweet spot so the quarterback can hit you, see it as the quarterback. I'm not sure Pop has that just yet, so we'll see where that goes. But Efton Chisholm, if he does not make the Patriots roster, Fitzy's getting a mohawk. That beautiful hair of his is coming off on the sides. We're just leaving the center. It'll be like the old days where they did rookie haircuts down in Gillette. When
tape
Tim...
beats to the goalpost. Oh,
yeah. You can have the Tim Tebow one if you want, too. Remember that was like that monk haircut if you want that one, the circular version?
Oh, that was tremendous.
Whichever you pick, Fitzy, and we'll see if it happens. But we got a couple more weeks to find out just how good Efton Chisholm is and how much the coaching staff likes him. Here in Foxborough. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it is time for Odds and Ends, and Stiz is taking over. Stiz told me he has something unbelievably exciting in the world of sports and football and entertainment. That's next here. Odds and Ends, WEEI Afternoons. WEEI Afternoons coming up on Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations, also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. So, sometimes I'm a little hesitant to do this, but I'm putting all my trust in Stiz, Mr. Kirby Smart Jr. over there, and his knowledge of, SEC football might not be the best in the world, but he knows sports, he knows entertainment, he knows radio, and he told me he's got something today. So, Stiz.
I don't know who that is.
Stiz, take it away, and I hope you know what you're doing with this segment, at least, anyway.
There's been some big announcements since I have been down here working for WEEI. There was Bill Belichick leaving the Patriots. There was Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. Belichick going to UNC. The unveiling of a Brady statue, but today, maybe the biggest announcement of all time was made. This announcement is going to rock the world. It's going to shake the very foundation.
Let me buckle up.
Shake the very foundation of pop culture and sports. You might have to hashtag shake it off. Take a listen.
So I wanted to show you something.
Okay. What do we got?
We got
a briefcase.
Yep.
Mint green with TS on it.
Yep.
What's in it?
This is my brand new album, The Life of a Showgirl. Ah!
TS12! Yeah.
TS12, Tay Swift, her new album, her 12th studio album, The Life of a Showgirl, getting ready to drop. It was kind of the industry's worst kept secret. We all kind of knew it was coming, but officially announced today. No exact date on when the album will drop. However, if you pre-order it now on Spotify, they're saying that you will get it by October 12th. So maybe it's sometime around then.
What was where did she unveil the album?
Great point, Ted. Yes, kind of missed half of that story. Of course, the only place she would do it on her booze podcast, New Heights, with the Kelce brothers.
Yeah.
Yep. So
are they gonna consummate this thing and get married eventually?
Yes,
you think
100%.
Really?
Remember when people thought this was fake? Remember when people thought this was just a contractual thing? The NFL needed publicity.
Yeah,
or
they were
something.
Going to each other's concerts. And
games. No, this is real.
This is real.
He goes on the road with her. Yeah. She's at games.
Yeah. And then I don't know. Like I don't remember the number. So I apologize. But I remember when people were like, "Oh, why do they keep showing Taylor at the NFL?" She brought up revenue or whatever. Like, they looked into it, and it was like 300% or like some crazy.
It was a stupid number that I don't even really believe.
I didn't quantify, but
I want to say it was in the billions. Like, she brought $2 billion into the NFL or something.
People go complaining about a shot to the club seats where she's there. What's wrong with that?
Plus, I've said all along, I find her more likable and more attractive ever since she just became the every woman. Yeah. She's yelling at referees. Yeah. She's cheering at a football game. Like, okay, so you're not just a diva on your, like, ivory tower. You're at freaking Arrowhead yelling at the same people we yell at a week later. I love that.
I think she's probably more down to earth than people will give her credit for. Yeah. And the one thing I will say about Taylor, I'm not a huge fan of her music, but she really does play the guitar. She really does write her own songs. And that right there, I think, puts her above some of these other pop stars.
It's the writing
don't.
Of the songs that people in the industry that takes her to another level. People really respect songwriters.
And Stiz, do you really not like her, or do you not like her because you're too cool for her, but then she comes on in the car and you're bopping around to her?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what I do.
What you just said.
Okay, because that's what I do.
It's like Coldplay, except I admit it, and you still are trying to die on the hill that you don't like Coldplay.
I hate Coldplay.
And she does the show. She's out there for 3 hours. Every time she comes to Gillette, she does 3 shows. One of them is an absolute deluge. She doesn't give up on it. She's incredible.
That is where the comparison to Coldplay is. She puts on a show. She's a show woman.
Oh, you didn't go to the Coldplay concert.
I've heard. They put on a great show.
A phenomenal show.
And Taylor Swift is known for the same
thing. So I heard, too.
So she can play the guitar, she can write songs, she can sing, and she puts on a show. There's a reason she's one of the most popular entertainers that we've ever seen
One of the biggest of all time.
So, and now she's merging with Kelce and football and the Mahomes again, all of
you
that.
You know how much money
that had on their bingo board? Taylor Swift revealing an album title on a football podcast.
Yeah, well, it's perfect business. It's perfect business sense. You know how much money this podcast
has? This has nothing to do with business, first of all.
What are you talking about?
If she wasn't banging one of the guys on the podcast, she wouldn't have done it on their podcast.
Yeah, obviously.
So screw business.
But because they are in a relationship together, it was a smart business. Like, where else is she going to? Like, obviously, her album's going to do tremendous. But now this podcast clip and episode?
Oh, sure.
Dude. They're going to bring in a bunch of money from this.
New Heights is making so much money for Wondery, the company, I think, that's owned by Amazon or Spotify that releases it. Like, it's insane. Like, they're now up there with Smartless and some of the other multi-million dollar podcasts.
All right. Speaking of multi-million dollar men, Christian Arcand with the Christian Arcand Show tonight. What's up, Christian?
Hello, Andrew. Hello, Fitzy. Hello, Ted. How are we tonight?
I don't know who that is.
Hi, how you doing, buddy? How you doing?
So I just wanted to clarify for people that didn't hear it. I was driving home last night. A question on this show has become Efton Chisholm. How good is he? Is he going to make the roster? I heard you talking about it. Is Efton Chisholm guaranteed to make the roster, as Fitzy says?
I say no, but I also haven't been there, so it's a little tougher for me to say that. And I don't say no because I think his performance hasn't been good. I think he's been fine, and everyone's reporting that he looks really good out there. I just look at it as more of a numbers game and more draft picks that you kind of have to at least give another look at before you decide, you're out of here, Jalen Polk, or you're out of here, Javon Baker, or whatever, and Chisholm's going to take your place. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get there.
Okay. Well, Fitzy is going to get a mohawk if Efton Chisholm does not make the roster.
Not agreed to by any
stretch. So look forward to that.
Well, now I'm really rooting for that. I'm also really rooting for more shots at Taylor Swift because I hate, I can't stand it when they show an attractive billionaire blonde woman in the stand during a football pride. Like, who would ever want to see that?
So many people bitch about that. Makes no sense.
Also, by the way, Andy, just real quick, the idea that she did this on his podcast doesn't really dispel the idea that it's a business transaction thing the two of them have going on, I don't think.
Yeah, but this
maybe adds to it a bit.
Wouldn't this be the longest con ever? I mean, they are heavily invested in this con. A lot of travel.
If she's trying to get more men to come to her concerts and the NFL's trying to get more women to watch football games, then isn't it still a beneficial thing here?
Sure, but they're like, and the paparazzi has them going to get coffee every morning together. Like, that is a lot of time invested in this con.
She flies back from Japan to make it to the Vegas for the Super Bowl. She took like an 18-hour flight after a concert. Like, that's commitment to the bit, Arcand.
Yeah, let's just accept love. Why can't you just accept
love? You ever seen him kiss?
Yep.
Yes.
I have never seen them kiss. When have you seen them kiss?
I've seen them kiss on the field after a game.
They embrace.
Yeah, and in my bedroom.
Yeah. Are you sure?
I don't know, but
maybe it was an AI deepfake.
I'm going to be looking for videos of him kissing now.
Because Arcand's good at these things. He sniffs out a lot of it. We used to have the sniff test, and he's got a good sniff.
Have they ever kissed?
We'll have to look. Send in.
They probably have. I'm just talking.
I feel like they probably have. I mean, hell, for all I know, it wouldn't stun me if they were having a child together and that popped up. That was news like next week.
I was
going to
say, I found this video on the internet that.
Whoa. We don't need to talk about that. Okay, stick around for the Christian Arcand Show and call him and let him know if you've ever seen Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce kiss. He will break down the Boston Red Sox, who are turning to Dustin May to save the season, to save the momentum, to be the stopper that Crochet couldn't be. We'll be back tomorrow. Alex Cora, 2:30, will join us to talk about whatever went on tonight and this little streak that the team is on. 2-6, WEEI Afternoons. Nice job, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We know you're smart, Dan.
I don't know who that is.